We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Am I close there, Daryl? 84, 85. Yeah, right in there. Welcome back to the morning show. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9. I get my just old classic bumper music, that's all. It is a Friday leading to a weekend where we got Atlanta United, the Atlanta Braves, both in town. NBA playoffs and much more. And, of course, the Preakness tomorrow night. And I'm sure that the real estate maven is going to want to watch a little horse racing after the mud of the Kentucky Derby. Because, and again, look, you're going to, I don't care about no Preakness. Well, you know what? You'll care about the Preakness after the Preakness is over if Justify, which is a overwhelming favorite, wins because of the fact that now everybody's going to care going to the Belmont to see if we could have, when was American Pharoah? 2015, right? Yeah, something like that. Our second Triple Crown winner in essentially 3 years, because we had gone forever and ever without a Triple Crown winner. From the 70s to 3 years ago when American Pharoah finally won it. So, and everybody in America would be all excited. And, you know, it's like this. By the way, if I have to hear another thing, Hugh, about this royal wedding, I'm going to go crazy because I still live in a house where people care about the royal wedding.
Guess what, John? Get ready. We're going to get your jumpsuit ready for you because you're about to go crazy. Because people have viewing parties for the royal wedding this
5 a.m. Tomorrow morning.
And there's going to be some people crying for folks they don't even know.
Amy's getting up, Bo, at 5 a.m. to watch the royal wedding. Tell me she's got a viewing party, right? At 5 a.m., the women are having the royal wedding viewing party, right?
I don't know if there's a women party, but she looked at me and she goes, I have to wake up early Saturday morning to watch the royal wedding. And I looked at her and I said, good, you can do it alone. And she looked at me like she got mad at me, and I said, we fought our independence to get away from these people. I have nothing for this. And she's like, they have nothing to do with that. I go, yes, they do. They're all in the bloodline.
I don't understand. You know what this reminds me? What was that, the Bronx Tale, when he was talking about Mickey Mantle? He said, what has Mickey Mantle done for you? What has the royal family done for you? The royal family does not know you. Why do you care? Why do you care? Well, but – I mean, to that point, though, John, Michael Strahan is over there. Shout out to Michael. He is winning as far as walking off the field and doing what he's doing because he's over there covering the royal wedding. I bet you he didn't think in a million years that he would ever be a part of the royal wedding, but he's over there doing that. Nah, I could care less about them getting married.
He's marrying an American. Okay. Whose family is like straight out of like something that TMZ would cover on a daily basis. I mean, because, good Lord.
No, he's not lying. Some of the headlines. some of the headlines.
We like, did.
Man, listen. Some of the headlines that I've seen talking about her, her daddy, man, her mama.
Her brother.
And it's like, it's just like for us, that's life. For them, it's a big deal for obvious reasons. But yeah, it's one of those things, man, I could care less. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for her family. You know, and all the other good stuff, and I'm pretty sure little girls around the world are going to be like, oh, I can marry a prince one day. Yeah, you probably could, but I mean, hey, good for you. That's it. I don't care. I could care less.
Yeah.
What, Daryl? What? That's not – I didn't say anything mean. I'm just being honest. I could care less about the royal wedding.
I could too, and I know that they're – because 5 a.m. coverage of the wedding tomorrow, and everybody, oh, we're having a party. Okay. All right. Do it. Knock yourself out.
No, you know what the most ridiculous thing is going to be? The folks that are crying. That are living in this fairy tale world.
All right.
That are like, I can't believe this is so beautiful. Because all the little horses and people do. Man, go on with that. You know what I see when I see the royal wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, somebody played a pretty penny for this thing.
No kidding.
That's the thing that I see. I'm like, damn, how much did that cost? When they have all that fancy stuff. Damn, I wonder how much they pay for this thing.
Yeah, but they do have something called the crown jewels that are locked up. I think they're okay on money.
No, but I'm just saying, John, think about it,
though. Oh, I know. I mean,
when you talk
tens
about,
of millions.
Like, you've had a wedding. I've had a wedding.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the bill.
I did.
I didn't look at the bill. I didn't want to have sticker shock. I didn't look at the bill.
I did.
But I remember at my wedding, my wife had a cake made. It was like one of them specialty cakes. It was made like a Lamborghini.
Uh-huh.
It was like we had a wedding cake,
right.
And then she made me a cake for myself.
Because that's what it cost. It cost a Lamborghini.
Man, listen. When I tell you, this is how, like, you could have ate the cake or you could keep it. I kept that cake for a year. I put it in the freezer. And the reason why I kept it, because I wanted to feel like I got my money's worth. I know that sounds crazy, but I kept that cake for a whole year. And when I cut it, it was still good because I put it in the freezer. But I kept it for a year. I kept it. Because that's just how I am, man. I'm like, I want to feel like I'm getting my money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I didn't cut it. But, yeah, they're going to pay a pretty penny for that wedding.
All right. So, I tell you what, we got other things to talk about, too. That'll be a big event this weekend. Just prepare for it. If you're not already prepared, if you've forgotten about it, guys, and you're rolling in, you're going, oh, yeah, okay, just prepare for it. The Falcons get ready for next week, because next week we talked about this with the NFL meetings here next week on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week, and everybody being in town. It actually is going to probably start, you know, through the weekend, because you'll have the dignitaries start to arrive. One of the things that I recall is that they're talking about Roger Goodell and the NFL Brain Trust doing tours of all the facilities. I mean, not that they haven't been here, but doing tours of all the facilities in advance of the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is already all the preparations for the Super Bowl are already underway. The Super Bowl committee and all that stuff, they're already meeting. They're doing preps now for the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, it's going down, and all the venues. Every venue that you can have where you're going to have private functions, NFL functions, things of that nature, yeah, they've already locked those down,
right?
The key venues.
So don't think it's not football season, because when it comes to the business of football, oh, it's football season. As to the business of football being played, I started to wonder, as we looked at rookie minicamp and looking at some of the early projected depth charts of the Falcons coming out, whether or not the Falcons have a problem at linebacker. You have three starters here at linebacker: Devondre Campbell, Duke Riley, and, of course, Deion Jones. And, you know, thinking about Deion Jones being as great as he is, we have to see Duke Riley step up. But beyond that, there's not a whole lot. Walter Football is a site that I tell a lot of you fans out there that you probably should. Our lads in Walter Football, very good sites, very high-end sites that scouts use, okay? They use Walter Football. They use Our Lads. These aren't blogs. These are the stuff that the scouts will use, NFL scouts and college scouts. And you should probably check them out and bookmark them. They're saying, well, we list Vic as a backup. Oh, you do? We list Kamal Ishmael as a backup. Oh, you do? Well, okay, it's the more you can do. But when you're listing Vic and Kamal Ishmael as backups, because the rest of your backups are JT Jones, who's the only veteran, and a whole host of rookies, most of which are undrafted free agents. Those are your backups. The seventh rounder out of Yale. I want to make sure, and I should have asked how to pronounce his name. Is it Foye Oluokun? Anyway, he's the only draft pick that's a backup. All the rest are rookie free agents: Anthony Wimbush, Dewey Jarvis, Emmanuel Ellerby. Emmanuel Smith. They're all rookie free agents. I mean, that's a depth problem.
Well, but it could potentially be one, but I think that when you look at Coach Quinn's defense as a whole, John Freaky, and you look at the guys that are out there and they're your starters now, they basically were starters as rookies. And I think that Coach Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff had done a great job of drafting players that have some of the same attributes. And one of the biggest attribute that they have is they're very, very smart. They're able to pick up the defense fairly quickly. You know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But I think when you have enough people around you, like Ricardo Allen, that really know the defense and know how to line people up, and you have those guys on there that can help pick up, say, for instance, pick up the slack for some of the younger players that might not be able to, you know, adjust to it that quickly, mm-hmm. It helps out tremendously. Because the one thing that when I look at Coach Quinn's defense and his offense is too, but especially the defense, you got a lot of young players over there. You got a lot of players over there that probably ain't got 5 years in the league. And if they got 5 years, this is their fifth season.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's mm-hmm. something that when you look at the NFL has changed in that aspect. Because I remember when I played, you had guys on the defensive line that might have been 8-year vets, 10-year vets that were still playing. This team has a lot of young talent all over the place, and they do a great job of replenishing that young talent and keeping guys out there and helping keep guys fresh. I think we were talking about it yesterday on the phone, and we were talking about the snaps that the linebackers getting. Now, granted, I think it was Deion Jones, and who else was getting the most snaps for the linebackers that we were talking about?
Deion had 96.95% of the snaps at linebacker, and then Devondre Campbell had, I believe, I want to say like 90 or 94%, something like that.
I mean, that surprised me.
That's a lot of snaps, especially when you talk about how they two platoon the front four. Mm-hmm. They two platoon them a lot to have your linebackers out there. That means that these young cats are going to have an opportunity to play a little bit more. When you have durable linebackers like that, that's pretty special. And to be honest, in the era that I played in, that was nothing for a linebacker to play, to be on the field for every snap. That was nothing for that. And, you know, that shows the durability and everything like that. But I think that in a perfect world for Coach Quinn, he would like to have some younger linebackers out there that could come in and spell those guys a little bit. But I don't think it has worked out for him just yet like that.
Well, we need Duke Riley to take a big step up fast. I mean, that has to happen.
Agreed. Yeah, because, you know, that after a while, man, as a young player, you don't it doesn't bother you when you're young. But as you get older, boy, those snaps, boy, they accumulate. And the first thing you're like, damn, that's a lot of football being played.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of football being played.
Yeah, because, again, we go to, you know, what can they do with all these youngsters that are behind these three starting linebackers? You say, well, maybe is there anybody out there? Again, Walter Football lists the top veteran free agents available right now at linebacker. Navarro Bowman. Now, Navarro Bowman is 30 years old. He's a veteran. Is Bowman somebody that you would want? I mean, Carlos Dansby, Lawrence Timmons, Zaire Anderson, these are your veterans out there. I mean, they're decent players, but nothing floats my boat.
There'll be somebody that you'll look at, John. This is how the NFL goes. Now, you're talking about all those guys that off the top of my head, they're all vested. So that means that financially, you're looking at investing. If you sign them before the season starts and you have to pick up their salary during the season, they're about $1 million players. Just even if – and that's just a basic contract. Just say you bring them in and say, okay, you're going to sign for a meal. You don't have to do that right now. You got time to wait and see how the young players pan out. And if it doesn't pan out, you sign one of those guys after the first game. And then you look and see how the young players are playing. Or you're going to start evaluating how they play in live fire drills like in the preseason. And if it doesn't work out, then you'll go sign one of those veteran players after the season starts. So that way, whatever happens, you don't have to pay him his full salary.
So, and you're going to be looking around the camp to see who gets, let go and cut.
A little bit of that.
Yeah, a little bit of that going on. What I thought was interesting, and just to kind of change this up a little bit, in the depth chart that I was looking at, because I was looking again at our lads' depth chart here, it struck me that suddenly the Falcons have depth in an area that I didn't think they would have depth in. And that's offensive line. Listen to these names. Ty Sambrello, right? Ben Garland, Sean Harlow, Wes Schweitzer, Austin Pastor, okay? Again, that's Sambrello, Garland, Harlow, Schweitzer, Pastor. That's your second unit on the offensive line. They're the second teamers. I mean, Pastor's a second teamer. Schweitzer's a second teamer. Harlow, the now second-year guy, second teamer. Ben Garland, second teamer. Ty Sambrello, second teamer. They got some depth on the offensive line.
They do. They really got some competition. Because when you look at the offensive line, John, those are the guys that you talk about outside of the quarterback who get all the snaps. You would like for your offensive lineman to be out there. It's the offensive lineman and your quarterback that are on the field all the time. Everybody else, they're interchangeable parts. So you would hope that, you know, that second line does not get a whole lot of work. you would definitely hope that. Because you want continuity with that offensive line. And you want guys to be able to play together for a long time and know how to set off of each other. What I mean by set off each other, like set at certain depths to help create that pocket for the quarterback.
And then that, by the way, that's presuming that Fusco is the starting right guard. All right, so we have a chance right now on a Friday to make it an even better Friday for you.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Award. Award. AWARD, award. You have till 7:59 to text the word award to 72881. And if they randomly select you, they will award you $1,000 award, AWARD, to 72881. That is the word for this hour in the National Signing Bonus. Do not text and drive. Message to data rates may apply, the yada yada. Award, AWARD, to 72881. And hopefully you can win yourself $1,000 on this Friday and make the weekend even a little bit more special. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios, a morning show on this Friday, talking a little bit about the depth of the Atlanta Falcons because, and this is a good thing on the offensive side where there's been so much focus, is that there is depth on the offensive side. Because one of the things I think as a great football team, and I've always done this, Hugh, is you go to your second team and you start looking at who's on your second team, you know, and you start thinking about, well, you've got, you know, depending on what you start with in terms of your starters. But when you've got guys who are veterans, who are really good players, who are the backups, so to speak, and like at running back, it's not necessarily a second teamer. It's unfair to say that Tevin Coleman's a second teamer, but he's not necessarily your starter. You have depth at running back now, especially with Ito Smith. You have depth on the offensive line. It's that one spot. You have depth, obviously, at the defensive end spot in the secondary. It's the linebacking core that's the one thing that you kind of go, well, you know, you're right. Hopefully they like some of these guys enough to run with these rookies.
I mean, enough to give them a little bit of a break. Like 90% of the snaps all season long, that's a lot of snaps. That means that you're basically never coming off the field. So hopefully they'll get some guys in there that can give them a little bit of a break, give them a little bit of a blow.
That is not the only NFL news that is making news this morning. We now know who is going to do Hard Knocks. What team got stuck with doing Hard Knocks? We'll tell you next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The Game's National Signing Bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Anybody who's anybody in the front office from the commissioner on down is going to be in Atlanta next week. Here comes the National Football League into our fair city, where I guess suddenly, who knew, suddenly it's cool to be from Atlanta. It wasn't cool until certain people showed up, but suddenly it's cool, apparently.
Who said it wasn't cool to be from here?
That Michael Avani guy who said it wasn't, you know.
I may not pay attention to that. Who are you? Anyway, that's what I would ask. I don't know. Who are you?
Anyway, we have a lot to talk about. We are chattering a lot on our Twitter this morning, including our Vision Computer poll question of the day, talking about the depth at linebacker. You know, do we need more depth? And when you vote on it, we always say that I want you to go into the – once you vote in the poll, if you're going to go into the poll and vote, which we appreciate, are you worried that the Falcons might have a depth issue at linebacker? Yes, we need more depth. No. In DQ, I trust, or it's too early to worry. And I think that's kind of where you fall in, right? You think it's a little too early to worry?
Yeah, I think they're going to – if they feel like they have to upgrade that position, they're going to do that. Because I'm pretty sure that's on Coach Quinn's radar.
But we also want you to talk to us and tweet us back, and we're answering your tweets. So one of the things in this thread where our poll is, if you click into it, you'll see I have posted the current depth chart according to Our Lads, and you'll see all the green for rookies at linebacker, and you could talk about the depth chart, and we can have a little debate this morning on that. We're also talking about the New York Times article on our Twitter at 929 The Game about Atlanta United and about the city of Atlanta, which is where that comment came from. About one of the quotes in it was that, you know, Atlanta United came to town and suddenly, you know, it wasn't cool to be from Atlanta, and the new transplant showed up and suddenly it was cool. Okay. All right.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah, I don't know about
but
all
you know
that.
What? I mean, you know, we are in the season where reporters have to say something slick or say something to get, you know, move the meter a little bit. So I guess that he felt that he had to put that in there. But no, I don't subscribe to that.
So Hard Knocks is going to be back. And there are rules governing Hard Knocks and how you get picked. You can't be picked, like, honestly, I should probably have looked them up before I opened my mouth on it. But it's like you can't be picked but once every 7 or 8 years, and you don't have a choice. I don't know how it works, but you don't get to say no. The Cleveland Browns got selected, okay? The Cleveland Browns, the Bad News Browns, got selected to be on Hard Knocks. I'm just guessing by some of the initial reaction, the Browns are not happy that they got picked, and I can imagine why. I mean, I don't blame Hard Knocks for wanting to do the Browns. It's maybe the most compelling offseason story, but according to the story, it's a PR minefield because of one particular guy at the top. The Browns GM, John Dorsey, says this, Hugh. He says, I don't think there's anything good that comes out of Hard Knocks. That's the Browns GM.
No, and most teams that do Hard Knocks don't really have a, if I recall, don't really have a great season after they do it. And a lot of that is posturing for the cameras. A lot of that is that. I just want to see if Hugh Jackson going to actually jump into Lake Erie. Because, you know, from what I've found, from the last time I checked, he hasn't done it yet. He has not done it yet. And I want to see the train wreck that could potentially be Baker Mayfield. Like, you know, I want to see how he handles training camp. So for the Cleveland Browns, I understand why the NFL picked them because they're a very, very interesting story. But at the same time, they're probably feeling like they're behind the eight ball because it's almost like the Madden curse when it comes to doing Hard Knocks. Most teams that do Hard Knocks, you know, you don't see the Patriots doing Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see teams that are Super Bowl contenders, too many of them doing the Hard Knocks. And I'm pretty sure, you know, you're talking about you don't have a choice. Who wouldn't want to see the Patriots do it? And I don't recall them ever being picked to do a Hard Knocks.
No, so, I don't think so either.
No, they ain't never been picked. Like, as far as I know, I've never heard anything about them doing the Hard Knocks.
Wouldn't the Patriots be compelling this year with the Brady Belichick thing going on?
Yes. That, to me, I think that if it's must see TV, do the Patriots. The Patriots. About the Patriots.
Well, they're going to do the Browns. And Hugh Jackson, by the way, because you mentioned it, you brought it up, Hugh, promised that if they didn't win a game, that he would go jump in Lake Erie. Well, now he's come out, Hugh Jackson, and yesterday said, I have a date.
The time has come for me to make good on my word. On June 1st, I'm jumping in the lake. Fortunately, I'm not going alone. Many members of the Browns organization have agreed to jump with me. Giving back to the community is the Browns way, so I've decided to add a little twist to my jump. Not only will I be making good on my word, we will also be jumping in for a good cause. For every member of the Browns organization that jumps with me, I'm going to donate $100 towards the fight to end human trafficking in Northeast Ohio through the Hugh Jackson Foundation. My goal is to get $15,000. We are working towards making 2018 a much better year for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm hoping to also cleanse ourselves of all the losing for the past two seasons by jumping in.
All right, so he's going to jump in Lake Erie on June 1st. Now, here's the thing, and he's going to spin it into and make it a charity event, jump with other people, of which I have no problem with, and I'm fine with it, and I'm glad he's going to do this thing about human trafficking. June 1st. Seems to me, Hugh, if he had really wanted to live up to his word, he would have jumped in like February 15.
John, I know it's cold. It's cold in Lake Erie. Dude, you could die. He could go into shock and die. Nah, you want to wait till that water warm up a little bit. You want that water warm up a tad.
Do the polar plunge. Come on.
Man, listen. Nah, you don't want to have, man, you have all kinds of problems.
You
went 0-16.
Man, you deserve that cold duck. But no, he's going to do it June 1st. And I'm good with the fact that he's going to do this. But yeah, back to Baker Mayfield on Hard Knocks. This could go, you're about to invest nearly what did we say yesterday? 35 or 36 million?
Something to that effect.
I don't know. If I'm John Dorsey, I understand what the general manager
is
doing.
No, because you're trying to, like, this is a distraction.
Yeah,
because you have to play to the cameras. You have to play to the cameras. You know, I was a part of a Hard Knocks, a season with Hard Knocks. You have to play to the cameras. And that's the thing. Like, you're trying to get good football work done, and you're trying to turn around your misfortune, and you have to stage certain things that go on during a football team. Now, they don't stage a whole lot of stuff. But they do – some of that stuff is kind of staged, though. They set the scenario for what's going on in the storylines and things of that nature.
Talking about some of the stories in the NFL this morning on the Morning Show with John and Hugh, Reuben Foster, did you remember the story, the former Alabama linebacker, and, you know, he allegedly, you know, beat up his girlfriend, drug her, threw her dog, whatever, and was arrested, and the Niners were saying, okay, well, you know, everybody jumped and said, well, you know, Reuben Foster, you're done. The girlfriend recanted. Oh, it's worse than that. I mean, Hugh, she not only recanted, but – boy, did she come out and make it sound really bad for her.
Basically, John, she said that she lied about a lot. She lied about a lot, and she said she testified against him, and basically she said she was trying to end him. And then she figured out she had to do the right thing. I'll say this about this story. I commend her for coming up and being honest about what really happened. But at the same time, man, this is the issue that I have with things of this nature. Is that a woman can say, whether it's right or wrong, or whether it's true or not, because anything she want about a man, and immediately that man is condemned. He's vilified in the public, and he's automatically accused of doing wrong without anybody getting any background on this thing, anything, because of what he does for a living. And people automatically assume, oh, well, you know, he plays football. He's violent anyway. He did it. I commend her for coming out and being honest about the situation. But she just made it bad for women who are actually abused.
Right.
She's made it real bad for women that are actually abused. And she's also made it tough for guys who get falsely accused to clear their name. You know, I mean, it's one of those things, man, where, you know, every time I hear stories about this, it always takes me back to a dark place. And I just think that, you know, you as a guy, you have to be careful and know who you're dealing with. But at the same time, man, people need to realize that these things do happen. And I understand that there's a lot of guys that do. There are a lot of abusive men out there, and they need to get what they deserve. But what about the women that lie on these men, that lie about being abused and everything? What do they get? They get to say, I'm sorry, and keep it moving. When the guy is left with picking up the pieces of his life and just trying to move on from something that happened that he will probably never move on from. Somebody's always going to bring that up and throw that in his face, whether it's true or not. And that's the unfortunate part about this whole thing. It's just unfortunate that things like this go on.
There was a very famous Secretary of Labor back in the day named Ray Donovan, and he got indicted on fraud charges and went to court and was going to be stripped of everything. He was a businessman his whole life. And the court said, he didn't do any of this. Not only is he not guilty, he's innocent. Everything that he's accused of, not true. And Ray Donovan said, I've been trying to tell you that. And Ray Donovan then said, stood in front of the cameras and said the lines, where do I go to get my good name back?
You don't. And like she said, I was pissed and I wanted to end him. That to me says it all. Because she wasn't thinking about nothing but her life and her feelings. It's just unfortunate that things like this happen all the time.
A lot going on in football. We have more. Yeah, there's more on a Friday. Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett got blasted on the radio in Dallas yesterday by someone. We have the audio, and we're going to play it for you next on The Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on The Game.
Now, your Game Time Traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from your Game Time Traffic Center. As you're out,
you get older, boy, those snaps, boy, they accumulate. And the first thing you're like, damn, that's a lot of football being played.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of football being played.
Yeah, because, again, we go to, you know, what can they do with all these youngsters that are behind these three starting linebackers? You say, well, maybe is there anybody out there? Again, Walter Football lists the top veteran free agents available right now at linebacker. Navarro Bowman. Now, Navarro Bowman is 30 years old. He's a veteran. Is Bowman somebody that you would want? I mean, Carlos Dansby, Lawrence Timmons, Zaire Anderson, these are your veterans out there. I mean, they're decent players, but nothing floats my boat.
There'll be somebody that you'll look at, John. This is how the NFL goes. Now, you're talking about all those guys that off the top of my head, they're all vested. So that means that financially, you're looking at investing if you sign them before the season starts, and you had to pick up their salary during the season. They're about $1 million players. Just even if, and that's just a basic contract. Just say you bring them in and say, okay, you're going to sign for a mil. You don't have to do that right now. You got time to wait and see how the young players pan out. And if it doesn't pan out, you sign one of those guys after the first game. And then you look and see how the young players are playing. Or you're going to start evaluating how they play in live fire drills like in the preseason. And if it doesn't work out, then you'll go sign one of those veteran players after the season starts. So that way, whatever happens, you don't have to pay him his full salary.
So, and you're going to be looking around at camp to see who gets, let go and cut.
A little bit of that.
Yeah, a little bit of that going on. What I thought was interesting, and just to kind of change this up a little bit, in the depth chart that I was looking at, because I was looking again at our lads' depth chart here, it struck me that suddenly the Falcons have depth in an area that I didn't think they would have depth in. And that's offensive line. Listen to these names. Ty Sambrello, right? Ben Garland, Sean Harlow, Wes Schweitzer, Austin Pastor, okay? Again, that's Sambrello, Garland, Harlow, Schweitzer, Pastor. That's your second unit on the offensive line. They're the second teamers. I mean, Pastor's a second teamer. Schweitzer's a second teamer. Harlow, the now second-year guy, second teamer. Ben Garland, second teamer. Ty Sambrello, second teamer. They got some depth on the offensive line.
They do what they really got some competition. Because when you look at the offensive line, John, those are the guys that you talk about outside of the quarterback who get all the snaps. You would like for your offensive lineman to be out there. It's the offensive lineman and your quarterback that are on the field all the time. Everybody else, they're interchangeable parts. So you would hope that, you know, that second line does not get a whole lot of work. you would definitely hope that, because you want continuity with that offensive line, and you want guys to be able to, play together for a long time and know how to set off of each other. What I mean by set off each other, like set at certain depths to help create that pocket for the quarterback.
And then that, by the way, that's presuming that Fusco is the starting right guard. All right, so we have a chance right now on a Friday to make it an even better Friday for you.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
award. Award. A-W-A-R-D. Award. You have till 7:59 to text the word award to 72881. And if they randomly select you, they will award you $1,000. Award. A-W-A-R-D to 72881. That is the word for this hour in the national signing bonus. Do not text and drive. Message to data rates may apply. The yada yada. Award. A-W-A-R-D to 72881. And hopefully you can win yourself $1,000 on this Friday and make the weekend even a little bit more special. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios, a morning show on this Friday, talking a little bit about the depth of the Atlanta Falcons, because, and this is a good thing on the offensive side where there's been so much focus, is that there is depth on the offensive side. Because one of the things I think as a great football team, and I've always done this, Hugh, is you go to your second team and you start looking at who's on your second team, you know, and you start thinking about, well, you've got, you know, depending on what you start with in terms of your starters. But when you've got guys who are veterans, who are really good players, who are the backups, so to speak, and like at running back, it's not necessarily a second teamer. It's unfair to say that Tevin Coleman's a second teamer, but he's not necessarily your starter. You have depth at running back, now especially with Ito Smith. You have depth on the offensive line. It's that one spot. You have depth, obviously, at the defensive end spot in the secondary. It's the linebacking core that's the one thing that you kind of go, well, you know, you're right. Hopefully they like some of these guys enough to run with these rookies.
I mean, enough to give them a little bit of a break. Like 90% of the snaps all season long, that's a lot of snaps. That means that you're basically never coming off the field. So hopefully they'll get some guys in there that can give them a little bit of a break, give them a little bit of a blow.
That is not the only NFL news that is making news this morning. We now know who is going to do Hard Knocks. What team got stuck with doing Hard Knocks? We'll tell you next.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is big.
Okay, let's do it.
We're giving away a quarter of $1,000,000.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game's National Signing Bonus.
Listen every weekday from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. and you could win $1,000 every hour, all day.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, did you hear this?
Back in the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
That's funny. Shout out for Daryl for playing that Colonel Abrams.
Well, I ran into some of the folks from B this morning, and they were talking about Funkfest.
Yeah, this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think Colonel Abrams is coming to Funkfest, though. I don't think Colonel Abrams is coming to Funkfest.
And apparently it's not my kind of funk.
What's your kind of funk, John?
Well, it's old school. It's Rufus. It's Parliament. It's Cameo.
Yeah, that's
Gap Band, that kind of stuff.
That's funk. That's the funk.
That won't be a funk fest, though.
Maybe
Charlie Wilson and the Gap Band.
Charlie Wilson is not really considered funk, though, is it?
If he sings Gap Band stuff, it is.
But he can't sing Gap Band stuff by himself. Okay, let me be quiet before I say something that's going to probably get me in trouble. But yes, Funk Fest this weekend. Funk Fest, yes.
Yeah, and so that'll be a big event, one of the big events going on this weekend. And, of course, all the sports that's going on, Atlanta United playing on Sunday, Braves and Marlins over the weekend at SunTrust Park. And we mentioned going to be jumping in Atlanta as we roll through this Friday. The NFL coming into town, beginning kind of like on Sunday. The meetings themselves begin on Tuesday, and that'll be a big talking point all next week as they pass these new rules and do what they're inclined to do in these meetings this next week. But there's other news in the NFL. We mentioned going into the break, Jason Garrett is under fire. It occurs to me that we were talking about the young, before we get into the comments from T.O. on 105.3 in Dallas, Hugh, it occurs to me that we were talking about the young stars in town, the young sports stars in town. All these 20, 22, 23-year-old guys have not grown up in an era where the Dallas Cowboys were a dominant football franchise. I mean, they don't know the Dallas Cowboys as being a great football fan, which, because, you know, we grew up, you and I, the Dallas Cowboys, they were a dominant football franchise.
They were, back in the day, they were considered.
They were the Patriots.
They were America's team, yes. That was their mantra. And they had the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and they were doing it big. They were the team that everybody, you know, looked at.
And Jason Garrett took over as head coach. They went through a bunch of head coaches, and Jerry Jones has always wanted to have his thumb on this. Finally got a guy in this former Princeton quarterback, Jason Garrett, that he could put his thumb on and run the team. Well, it hadn't worked, really, because what have they really done? Not a whole lot.
Won two playoff games in his under him. Mm-hmm. I do believe, what, two playoff games? And, yes, that's about it.
Yeah, they haven't been to a Super Bowl. I think the last, if I'm not mistaken, the last Super Bowl was here, like in 95. I mean, they haven't been to a Super Bowl in 20 years.
It's been a while.
But their last Super Bowl was in Arizona?
Yeah, their last Super Bowl was 1996 in Arizona.
Right, so they played here against the Steelers. Bills.
Yeah, they beat the Steelers. 95. I remember that. Because Cordell played in that game.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, anyway, but still, it's been over 20 years. T.O., one-time Cowboy, wanted to be a lifetime Cowboy, went on 105.3 radio in Dallas yesterday, and they asked him about his impression of Jason Garrett. Well, that didn't go over too well.
When you really look at it, it doesn't make sense for Jason Garrett to continue to have his job, not really making any, not really expanding or not really progressing with the organization, even as a team, under his coaching tenure there. It all boils down to players being the scapegoat for his inability to lead the team as he should. Mm. For me, it's mind-boggling. I don't understand it. And I think Jerry, again, he's the owner. At the end of the day, he has to feel good with himself about the decisions. But I just don't understand why this guy still has a job.
That was strong. I mean, that was strong. And when I hear T.O. talk, I hear him, like, I think two things have happened here. I think that he has had a conversation with Dez Bryant, and he relates to what happened to Dez Bryant because the same thing happened to him. And I was trying to look back and look and see. Jason Garrett wasn't coaching there when T.O. was there. I don't think he was there. I think it was, what, Parcells? Was it Parcells? I can't remember who the coach was when T.O. was there. But the bottom line is this. I remember there being things said about Jason Witten and Tony Romo when T.O. was there and how they were against him and things of that nature. I remember it vividly. I don't remember the story, the exact story, but I remember something like that going on. And that was one of the reasons why T.O. was let go from the Dallas Cowboys. So he feels some type of way about that. And now, you know, he's looking at Dez Bryant's situation and he can relate to that. And that's why he's saying what he's saying. But he has a point. I mean, you cannot argue that. When you talk about how head coaches go and how it is in the NFL, for Jason Garrett to have his job as long as he's had it, it kind of makes you wonder. Two playoff wins since he's been there. And I think they both exited in the first round. No, excuse me. They beat the Philadelphia Eagles in the first round of the playoffs, and then they went home the following week. And then they went home again under Dak Prescott when against the Green Bay Packers. So, I mean, there is something to be said about that. And Dallas Cowboy fans have been living off of their past successes for I don't know how long. That's all you hear about when you hear the Dallas Cowboy fans talk, is about their championships in the 90s. And that's all that they have to hang their hat on. And, yes, this is me digging in, taking shots at the Dallas Cowboy fans right now. Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. So if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan and you're thinking that's what I'm doing while you're listening to this show, you are exactly right. You are exactly right.
Pop, pop.
Y'all still living off of those championships that y'all had in the 90s. We about to be in 2020. And y'all still talking about what y'all done in the past. So, yeah, that this is me being petty.
Right, and now you look at the future of the Dallas Cowboys. It's about Dak Prescott.
Then yeah, and what he's going to do. And a lot of people
are you sold that he's going to do something?
No, he's going to get paid, though, John.
I know he is.
He's going to get paid. And they're probably going to have a nice little run this year. I don't know how nice, but
I don't see any playoffs in their future. I really don't. I think that what did Dez in last year is mm-hmm. when Ezekiel Elliott was out, and that I think that Dez had a lot to say and was trying to be more instrumental in the offense. And I think that him and Dak didn't see eye to eye. Mm-hmm. And that was the beginning of Dez's demise with the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go.
Hey, dyslexia.
Is Dak Prescott actually the fifth best quarterback in a four-team division? Is he the fifth best quarterback in a four-team division? Because the other four quarterbacks ahead of him might be, in no particular order, Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, Eli Manning, and Alex Smith. Are they all better than Dak Prescott?
Well, the one that you're talking about, that's the backup, won a Super Bowl. So I would say yes.
Yes. Eli won a Super Bowl?
Yeah. Alex Smith is a pretty good quarterback. He's won more playoff games than Dak at this point in his career.
Took a team, deep into the playoffs multiple times. That's just asking. That's all. I'm just kind of curious. It is a busy Friday when we get back. No Braves game last night, but Braves news aplenty. At least three players, injury news, good and bad. And we have that for you next with John and Hugh on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, your game time traffic.
I'm Stephanie Stallworth from the Game Time Traffic Center's Traffic Update is sponsored by Credit Karma. Trying to get yourself in on 75, 85, Georgia 400, the Big Three. Coming in from the top side of town, looks like your usual volume as you head through those areas. So 75 South, coming in from Wade Green down to 285, going to take you 21 minutes. 85 South, 316 to 285 and 17. 400 is Buford Highway to 285 and 40 minutes. Downtown Connector, let's head northbound. Coming in from right around Langford Parkway, heading all the way into Brookwood. They're going to take you, looks like, about 13 minutes. Get your truly free credit score, free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Stephanie Stallworth on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell, afternoons 2 to 7.
We'll have the ability in some states, Carl, to go place a bet, maybe at a convenience store, or maybe at an off-track betting or like an OTB type park.
Or maybe at the arena as you make your way into the game.
How about, could you imagine that, a kiosk right there at Phillips? Yeah. You come in there, put your credit card in, deduct $20, whoop, 14 parlay. Keep an eye on what the other guys are doing around the NBA. You see, kids, yes, some people...
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.